Get Pucked.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Matt, Vito, and Dave here with you today. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good. Awesome and good. That's what I like to hear. It has been a little over a week, I believe, since our last episode. So apologies for that. But of course, life happens. So let's just dive into some questions because I know that's what everybody who's listening wants to hear. They want to hear some hockey talk. It's been a couple weeks that the Habs have been eliminated, obviously, from the playoffs, and they're all enjoying their offseason for the most part. Some are participating in the World Championships that are going on right now. Many others, apparently from social media, are just having themselves good times on the beaches and getting engaged and all this kind of wonderful stuff. So good for them. Meanwhile, for us fans, we crave hockey. We crave hockey news. I have something that I want to ask you guys. And first and foremost, I want to tell you and prefix this question by saying it's absurd and it will never happen. It will never happen. But that's okay. Because apparently it drove people insane a couple days ago when this was being floated around. And I'd like to hear your take on it. When the Toronto Maple Leafs got eliminated from the playoffs, there was a lot of finger pointing that was happening. The majority of those fingers were pointing at a Mr. Mitch Marner. The trade scenario that was proposed was, would you, as the Montreal Canadiens, try to trade for Mitch Marner if that trade package would be Cole Caulfield and Montreal's first round pick? Now, there's been other instances, apparently, as Vito told me right before the podcast, that some suggested in some insane world, would you trade Caulfield for Marner and Toronto's first? I'm not even going to humor that.
It was 2025 first, from what I remember.
Whatever. That is so ridiculous. I'm not even going to float that. But the other way around, at least, is a tantalating question because it is interesting. Caulfield is a fan favorite. He's got a lot of potential. We see everybody was saying 35, 40 goal scorer. He's on the top line. He's gelling. He likes it here. But Cole Caulfield has not scored 100 points in a season like Marner has. And Marner has put up very high numbers for many years in a row right now. I understand, and I'm going to turn it over to you guys in a second. I understand that Marner has a bit of a reputation now as not really a playoff performer. I understand that he has a bit of a reputation as well as perhaps being a bit of a whiner. And I don't know how that would necessarily fit in a locker room. But that said, the man has put up 100 points in a season. When was the last Hab to put up 100 points in a season, I ask you? So, Dave, we'll start with you. Do you trade Cole Caulfield and the fifth overall pick of this draft for Mitch Marner, if available?
Obviously. Like, it's such a stupid question. And first off, to be fair, Marner has never hit 100 points. He's
99.
Okay, but 90s at 100 point pace.
Regardless, it's just it's an absolutely absurd thing, and it's funny because I saw that post and then I read the comments and everyone's saying no, Habs fans.
There were a lot of no's.
It's insane to me. This is why you can't have nice things. Okay, this is why we can't have nice things. People go crazy for Josh Anderson. Okay, I remember the Josh Anderson craze for years. Josh Anderson has to be a Hab. He's exactly what the Habs need. The guy had a career high of 47 points when the Canadians went to get him in an 82 game season. 47, but it was absolutely. We had to do everything we had. Can the Canadians have to do everything they can to get Josh Anderson. Same thing with Pierre-Luc Dubois, career high of 63 points. I think it was 61 points when he was with Columbus, 63 points last year, his last year in Winnipeg. It's just absolutely absurd. These are the guys that people go crazy about and this and that. And then Mitch Marner, no, thank you. The guy only has 50 points in 57 games. He doesn't show up in the playoffs, right? He's almost at a point per game production in the playoffs. Like, it's just this narrative, okay? Yeah. It's very recent, full of recency bias, and it's just absolutely insane to me. It's so stupid. It's such a stupid thing to like. People are going crazy over Slafkovský. This guy's gonna be a star. Look at what he's doing. It took him 121 games to reach 60 points. You know how long it took Mitch Marner to reach 60 points? Like 64 games. Like, they're not the same caliber of player. It's not even close in terms of like what you want in a player.
Wow.
Mitch Marner is young. He's he's this guy is a stud. We talk about how are the Canadians going to get that winger to put up points, and it's like, here's Mitch Marner who might be about let's pass. It's so stupid. It shouldn't even be a conversation. It's absolutely asinine. Like, the Leafs are, I don't believe, are even going to trade Mitch Marner, but if they were, they will not trade him for Cole Caulfield on a first round pick. And for Habs fans to even pass on that, it's just like, this is why people can't take things fan bases seriously. It's because of the small, I know it's not the whole fan base, but it's like small pockets of fan bases who just ruin it for everybody else by being so stupid.
Dave going scorched earth. Okay. That's Bacon all. Going after everybody. Please. Going after poor Slav. Going after Anderson and PLD. My goodness. Obviously, Dave has very strong feelings about this. Vito, do you feel the same?
To be fair, I'm not going on Slavkovsky. I'm just saying, yeah, like, the fans who are fans who ruin it for these players.
Jeez, Dave, tell us how you really feel. My God, did. Man, take
I
a
think
breath.
He just did.
Wow, I don't even know what I don't know what else to say and add to that, because he pretty much said most of it. Okay. All right, let's play devil's advocate for a moment.
I was seriously hoping that you were going to take the opposite stance. I was really hoping you'd be like, nah, Marner, no. Nah.
It's not realistic. I understand people love Cole Caulfield. I get it. The guy is in the room. You see all the things about him. He smiles. He's a happy-go-lucky guy. I think in Montreal, we get caught up with the potential, the upside, the all of those things, right? Like, oh, can Caulfield be that 50-goal scorer? You know, you talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois. Can Pierre-Luc Dubois take his game to another level with the Montreal Canadiens and all those things? That's where fans get caught up with, and that's why they want to trade him. Now, the thing is that what I don't like is the whole Mitch Marner narrative that he's not a playoff performer. Dave, you nailed it. He had 50 points in 57 games, and I believe it was not the playoff run that just passed, but the one before, he was over a point a game. He had 14 and 11. So you can't call this person a non-playoff performer. And at the same time, you have players that get you through the season, as Matt mentioned a couple of episodes ago, and you have some that get you through the playoffs. And you still need those players that are going to get you through the season. And there's nobody on the Montreal Canadiens roster, nobody, that has posted up 90-plus points in consecutive seasons. Nobody. So he is a proven 90-point guy. He's not a guy that you look and say, hey, he can maybe get you 90. He did it once. He constantly is putting up those numbers and putting up. This year was a 100-point pace. Now, I know there's also some Habs fans that are going to say, yeah, that's what happens when you play with Austin Matthews. If you go back a couple of seasons ago when Austin Matthews was hurt, Mitch Marner took over and he played and he was still posting up the numbers and putting up the points that he was putting up. So, you know, I still didn't answer the question, but yeah, would I trade Cole Caulfield for Mitch Marner? Absolutely. Because
he's not so much. And your first round pick, your fifth overall pick.
That's not what was the trade package, though. That was presented on Twitter.
I don't care what was on Twitter. That's what I said. Would you trade Cole Caulfield and the fifth overall pick for Mitch Marner? That was literally what I said.
You're thinking about it?
He's insane.
It's absurd to me.
Put those teeth away. You're insane.
It's hard, that fifth overall pick, though.
Oh, my God.
Because I'd have to add the fifth overall pick, it makes me think a little bit. But again, Montreal doesn't have a Mitch Marner, and we don't know if that fifth overall pick is going to turn into a Mitch Marner.
Caulfield had an excellent season. Everybody was like, "Oh, fantastic!" He had 65 points. It was year three for him. 65 points in year three. Mitch Marner had 94 points. Like it's not even close to the caliber of player that you're talking about. They're not even in the same hemisphere. In terms of play,
I hate to pump the tires of anything Toronto related, but I mean, yeah, you have to be a little bit, you know, short in the mind if you think that getting Mitch Marner on your team doesn't make your team incredibly better.
100%. He 100% makes the team better. 150%. He is an impact forward that comes in right away and is going to produce. Will he put up the same numbers as he did in Toronto? Don't know. We never saw that yet.
If he put up 85 points, would you still not do it?
I'm paying for the guy who's going to be the closer to the 100-point player than the 85-point player, who's going to command almost $13 million a year. You got to consider that.
I mean,
you got to consider that. The last person that we saw got paid $11 million for 80-point seasons and is not doing that anymore. His name is John Tavares. And now Mitch Marner is much younger.
How many cups does John Tavares have?
Zero.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
Zero. What does that have to do with anything?
I'm saying, do you think that he's John Tavares?
I'm not saying he's John Tavares. I'm saying you have to be cautious with the contract too that's coming. Mitch Marner's gonna get paid big guap very soon, and you gotta factor that in too when you're thinking about all of this.
I'm factoring in that if you put him on the same line as Cole Caulfield, as Nick Suzuki taking Cole Caulfield's place, and Slaff, what he's going to do to those guys is going to be tremendous.
But again, you said if he puts up 80 to 85 points, are you not still happy with that? And at $13 million, no, I'm not.
I would be if he makes Slaff an 85-point player also and Suzuki an 85-point player also.
Well, Suzuki's already trending there.
But he ain't there yet. We think he's going to get there. We hope he does this because, again, I'm not going to talk too much more about this because this is something that will never happen. Even if they do look to trade him, they will never trade him to Montreal. Never. And forget that it's a Caulfield and a first, and that's not even close to enough. Even if Kent Hughes called him up and said, I will throw half this team at you if you want, they won't do it. They will not trade to Montreal. That will not happen.
That's not true. They would do it if the package was actually bigger. Because Mitch Marner, and I said it last episode, that I think a good trading partner. Let's assuming that Toronto really wants to move Mitch Marner. Assuming that's the case, I think Utah is a great trading partner. Montreal is somebody, you know, they threw it out there for whether you want to call it for clicks, whether it was actually, you know, coming up with a package that would make sense. When you look at Mitch Marner's body of work and his stats, it would probably even take more than Cole Caulfield in a first.
It would.
Yeah, for sure.
It would.
You know, it would probably take an additional first and an additional and a defenseman too on top of that.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, we'll save that for another time. Maybe we'll put that in a Twitter question because that is interesting. Obviously, Caulfield on a first, I think anybody who has any hockey sense is going to say yes. But if I start to say Caulfield, the fifth overall, the 27th overall this year, and one of your top defensive prospects, do you do that trade? Now, if you decide to start being, okay, I have a little bit more respect for you. I don't know personally if I would do it either. I'd have to still think about it. I kind of lean towards yes, because there's just something about a guy who's basically a 100-point player. And there's just something about that. You know how rare that is? It's just, and this team hasn't had this in so long. So that's the interesting thing to me. But I don't want to talk too much more about Marner. There is another guy I briefly want to talk about. You mentioned him right away. I thought it was interesting. Pierre-Luc Dubois, we talked about him ad nauseum before he got traded to LA.
Why?
He had a terrible season.
Yeah.
A terrible season. He's paid a ton of money. Everybody in LA is already looking on cap-friendly for buyouts for him and stuff. It was bad. I'm curious, given what happened last season and how we kind of all sat here and we're like, yeah, PLD coming to Montreal. Yeah, oorah.
Except for Dave.
If LA calls and says, we will offer you PLD Montreal at pennies on the dollar, we'll take back one of your contracts, like a Christian Dvorak, for example, and we'll withhold back a big chunk of his salary. Would you be interested in PLD now after the year he just had? We'll start with you, Peter.
I don't think it would have to be it would have to be a long contract that's a bit longer than Dvorak. Dvorak's a UFA at the end of the season. It's not enough for me to make that
Anderson. Kind of
Anderson, we're having a conversation. Not because I prefer Anderson's character over PLD, at least from what we're hearing on the rumors, but I think that PLD in the Montreal market, I think both players could benefit from a change of scenery. How about that? Already, sad to say for PLD, because it's been 5 minutes that he's in LA. I just obviously it's not working there. He's not a fit there. It would seem we'll see if he has a bounce back year next year. The rumors that are swirling out there about him, you know, being bought out and all that are crazy. It's not going to happen. They're not going to buy him out. I'd be shocked if they bought him out. Shocked. Because they'd be paying that contract for so long.
No, I think they'll look to trade him if they're actually going to look to trade him. Or maybe they say, we'll wait another year and see.
If I'm Montreal, I strongly consider if it means that PLD, we get him at half the price. Half the price. If it means that we're moving a Josh Anderson, that's also a bit of a long-term contract as well. and you're telling me that we can get PLD for a little bit less, I would strongly consider it. My only concerns with this now, and I go back to what Dave has said, is the character in the past, the character issues now are kind of really apparent now. You're getting, he's on his third team, and there's already rumors about character issues.
Well, I don't know. You sound a little half pregnant to me now. So do you want him on the Habs or not? Would you do the
trade or no? I would take the gamble if I'm moving somebody like Josh Anderson's contract. But to say that I move a Dvorak, who's a UFA at the end of the season, no, because I value that cap space next year. That's money that's going to go to Slavkovsky, Doc, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, but if you're telling me that for the same price or less, I'm going to get a younger PLD than Josh Anderson, I would consider doing that move.
Okay, which is fair. I didn't want to initially say Anderson because I thought that would be too attractive because everybody seems to want him gone, a big albatross contract. And so flipping him for another guy to come in is obviously a lot more exciting than, you know, potentially a Dvorak who's gone, like you say, is off the books, and you're taking a little bit more money in as well. So there's that factor. But yeah, I guess I'll ask questions.
If it's for Dvorak, let's say Dvorak as the player, in order for Montreal to take on that kind of cap, that term, because it's pretty long. It's a long-term
contract.
Seven more years. There needs to be a strong, very strong prospect coming as well, or a player that comes in to kind of make up for it.
They got to give an additional strong prospect for us to take
PLD. Think about it. It's 7 years of PLD. Okay.
God knows what he's getting. Dave, please. He can't take it anymore.
I can't take it.
Set him straight, Dave.
You might as well call this episode Dreamland because, my God, LA, a young and up-and-coming team who's in the mid, they made the playoffs, they're young, they're coming, they're going to make a push for it, are going to eat Pierre-Luc Dubois, half of Pierre-Luc Dubois' salary for the next 7 years. They're going to take on one of the Canadiens' worst contracts for an over
for
pretty
one
much
year.
This, the same exact
for 1 year.
Okay, no, but Josh Anderson, you're talking.
We're talking about Josh Anderson.
No, I was talking about Dvorak.
I know.
Please. I was talking about Dvorak.
Okay, Dvorak.
I'm more to make up for the term.
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless. Okay. And then they're going to ship a prospect out that one of their best.
I didn't say that.
No, but hold on. I'm replying to Vito right now specifically, okay? Anderson, you take on bad contract for bad contract, but for some reason, the Kings eat their contract. Habs don't eat any of theirs.
Who's doing the favor here?
But what do you mean? What is a favor? Who does favors?
Montreal would be doing LA a favor by taking on all that turf.
How? Okay, but you're giving up half a big chunk of his salary. You're retaining it, and you're taking on a bad contract as well. And Josh Anderson, like, what favor are they doing?
No. Again,
they're a hockey club, man. Like,
how about the Josh Anderson? You're the one who brought it up.
I'm responding to you.
At the end of what I said, I go for Dvorak. If we're adamant that it's Dvorak the piece going the other way.
Okay.
He's a UFA.
You would require a prospect back.
I would require something else in addition to
a good prospect.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, first off,
it's UFA done. Dvorak's contract comes off the books. They get liberated all that money and all that term from the PLD. Montreal's doing them a big solid if PLD continues to be a clown like he is right now.
I mean, it's just to me that a scenario that will never happen. Absolutely not. And secondly, I don't want Dubois in Montreal at all. If I'm the Canadians, I mean, like the character issues are clear. You heard it in Columbus. Oh, it's not working out well there. He goes to Winnipeg. Oh, yeah, but it's in Winnipeg. You know, obviously he just wants to come home to Montreal. Comes to LA. Goes to LA. Oh, surprise. Not working out there. Like, how many more times are you going to is at one point? Is it shame on you?
Montreal not doing a favor. At this point,
we're but it's not necessarily, man.
It's like, hard
they could find somebody else to do them a better favor than what the Canadians would offer. That's a bad favor. That's not a favor.
Does he have a no move clause?
I don't remember if he got one.
That would
one
be
or
crazy.
Not.
I don't think so. Oh, he does.
He does.
He has a no move clause.
So. No other team is doing a favor. He doesn't.
Well, he's going to cap friendly.
No, the no move clause. Okay, so this is why the rumors are swirling. There's two reasons why the rumors are swirling.
Because it kicks in next year?
It kicks in for the 24-25 season. And I believe if they were to buy him out now, the buyout rumors, I'm addressing those buyout rumors.
Yeah.
They would have to pay him 1/3. But as of the start of next season,
Actually, it's like July something.
Oh, July something. Yeah. If they don't buy him out before then, it would be too late for his contract.
They already said they're not buying him out.
They're not. Yeah, they're not going to buy him out. They're not going to buy him out. But I do think it's fascinating that if they don't do something with him, and I don't see a team that's going to want to take that. So realistically, it'll be in once his no move clause kicks in. And then he points a finger to the only place he wants to come and says, you guys don't want me?
But
he says, you have me. There's nothing you can do with it. I want there.
Okay, first off, I just want to, if they were to buy him out, they'd be paying him, or he'd be on the books till 2037, 38. He's not getting bought out.
He's not getting bought out. Okay. But the thing is we're looking at, you're looking at it from like, oh, are you doing LA a favor? But why would the Canadians do that anyways? Why would the Canadians ever take another gamble on a huge guy who's getting paid 8.5 million? And even if LA eats, which they will, I sincerely doubt they will. Like,
they won't eat half. But let's say $6 million contract. Let's say
the only way the only way Montreal takes him, and this is what I'm trying to say, is if there's something in addition to that makes it extremely enticing to say, I'm going to take PLD, we'll work with him and try to work these characters, but it's that other piece that we really want in addition.
Never happen.
Yes, never. Also. And beyond that fact is that if that prospect doesn't work out, now you just gambled away again and you're stuck with a huge contract again. And then he's really never going to get traded if he comes to Montreal and doesn't perform. You understand that? Like that, then the Canadians are stuck with him. He's not getting moved to another. There's not try number five.
I think you'll have people that are open to this idea if it's moving one of the bad contracts that Montreal has, that of a player that is getting Josh Anderson.
They're not going to take Josh Anderson for him. That's not going to happen. You're adding additional prospect thing. I also think is absolutely insane. I don't think LA would ever do that. He'd be fired on the spot if that ever happened. But assuming some way, somehow this does occur, and LA does say he only wants to come to you guys, we know we're a little bit behind the eight ball, but we'll just keep him. So you're not going to fleece us. But we understand his big money is too big for you guys. We'll hold back and make him a $6 million contract for you. You give us one contract to get off your books. You got to fit him in. What was the highest he's ever gotten point-wise? 64 points, you said?
64 points.
63 in Winnipeg, right? In his last year?
Yeah.
Okay, he goes to LA. He goes to LA last year. What did he get?
40.
40. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible season. He was playing fourth lineman. It was terrible. Let's say he's a 60-point player. Everybody thinks he's got another gear. Let's say he's not. Let's say he's not, and he's a 60-point player. To Vito's math that he likes to say, it's $1 million per 10 points.
Yes, I get it.
If he comes in at $6 million and he only ever puts up 60 points on your second line, is it so bad?
Yes.
I didn't.
Okay. That is one opinion.
It is. It's my opinion because there's proven instances of him not getting 60 points, including the latest year. And, you know, it's just to me, his last year in Columbus also, he had, 49 points. Like, there's too many instances of it not working out. There's been instances
of Mitch Marner not getting 90 points. You can't look at it that way either.
No, there's not. There's not.
There's been seasons of him not getting 90 points.
Yeah, look how many games he played. 50.
go look.
I'm doing this 69 and 82. Yeah. Okay.
And that was the only season. And his rookie.
Okay.
It was his rookie year. Then he got 94 and 82, 67 and 59, 67 and 55, 97 and 72, and 99 and 80.
We're not talking about Mitch Marner anymore.
I'm not comparing Marner to Pierre.
Okay. Ultimately, before I move on to my next question, final thing. Dave says, doesn't matter. Give him to me for free. I don't care. I don't want him on the team. Vito says, we can maybe talk. If some sort of magic happens with another.
Jonathan Drouin was a 60-point player this year, guys. I just want to point that out. Okay? Jonathan Drouin was a 60-point player. Would you go second line, put Jonathan Drouin on the second line, 60 points, give him $6 million? You could find 60-point players for cheaper than $6 million, and you could find more proven ones if that's what you're willing to pay than a guy who lollygags his way through his career and has to... I only want to play in Montreal. I only want to play throughout his entire life. Like, okay.
But we've seen that story before. There is that potential. I think the only thing about PLD at this point that is somewhat still interesting is if he does happen to come to the place that he finally says that he wanted to go to all this time, which, to be fair, he could have last year. He could have come here.
What other guy?
He did not come here. He chose LA. He could have come here.
This guy is in year eight of his career. What other guy in year eight
it that still has have a potential high to grow?
60, it still has potential to hit more.
I agree. Listen, I saw the light. I thought he was a foregone conclusion coming here. He chooses LA. I said, okay, we're done with that. Then he has the season he has, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. I think Montreal dodged a huge bullet.
Montreal dodged the bullet at 800.
And yet you guys want to grab him right back in.
I'm simply the questionnaire. All right. I'm asking because people are talking. They're talking buyouts. They're talking trades. They're talking all kinds of fun stuff. I'm curious.
I'm not saying that I want him back and I'm going to trade everything and anything to get. I'm saying I would have the conversation.
If Vito Pan is right,
and I would
see a Dubois Habs jersey on his wall.
No, there's a Sidney Crosby.
It's a mural. It's a Dubois mural that he has.
But I would strongly have the conversation and see what LA would be willing to pay to take that contract off their books. That's what I would want to know.
Okay.
There's like 700 players in the league, man. Like, why Dubois? I don't get
Kent Hughes would not, because he's the rumor right now, but Kent Hughes would not be doing his job if he didn't at the very least, if they called him up and phoned him and said, hey, I got this contract, I want it off the books, he would like to come to Montreal, what can we do? And it's an opportunity as a general manager to have the conversation and maybe, we're saying do the favor, fleece that team. Maybe. We don't know. But to automatically sit there and be, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not listening to this. I don't want to even hear you. The door is closed. Then that's a bad move as a general manager. Can't do
not
that.
Necessarily.
I think he answers think the so. Call. But I think it's possible that, like Dave, they've identified this guy and simply looked at his history and simply looks at the fact that he's 8 years in the league, like Dave mentioned, and that all the promise that was is now gone. And they just don't want to. They just don't want him, that player on the team. He doesn't
the other thing. The other thing I would say too is right now is that if you're looking at the way Montreal is going, I think they're going to start to come out of their rebuild and the taking on caps and contracts and like that and doing those types of favors and getting those kinds of assets are going to start to come down. They're not going to be doing that as much anymore. Exactly. In my opinion.
I agree. And that leads me to my next question. It's a perfect segue. You got a guy like Slafkovský who finished December all the way to the end of the season. Fire. Perfect. Really great. Finishes that season with 50 points as a rookie. Everything's wonderful.
And he's dominating the world now.
He's doing very well there too. Strong play. Everything's looking good. If you guys are Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton right now, do you look at Slafkovský this summer and try to offer him a deal and sign him long term? And if you do that, what kind of deal comparable are you looking to do? Is it looking to sign him as a Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield deal? Do you look to bridge him? Because you're not 100% sold, but you definitely want to give him something, what would you do?
So this is a very good question, because this is really, really a tough one to do. Like, ideally, if he's going to be the player we all think he's going to be, you want him signed immediately, as soon as possible, so you can take advantage, you know, of, you know, what he's at now, as opposed to what he's going to get, and then he just becomes more and more expensive the more he improves. So obviously, that's what you want to do. Again, though, And you look, and he's tracking well. I mean, I think like the side-by-side comparison with Jack Hughes is like ridiculous. I mean, I'm not saying Jack Hughes obviously exploded afterwards. He would have to do the same. But I'm just saying like there's so much good there to see. Again, though, I'm extremely mindful and I'm extremely hesitant to judge people on half seasons, and that's what it was, right? He was having a very difficult start to the season. So far, he's had in his career, if you look at it, he's had a very good half of an NHL season. That's what Cole Caulfield had before everybody professed him as a 50-goal scorer. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. So, that being said, it's a gamble. It's a gamble to do it. What do you mean? What did I say?
Matt's pointing at me. I didn't profess him to be a 50-goal season.
I'm fairly certain if you look at the tapes, you have said Cole Caulfield could be a 50-goal scorer.
I said, yeah, I could see him having the potential, and you could go listen to that if you want, to be a 40-45-goal scorer. Yeah, yes. 100%.
Okay.
And I said I'd see him more as a consistent 35 guy than a 50 guy.
Okay.
Proceed, Dave.
So with that being said, Juraj Slafkovský, a little bit more, I don't want to say the pedigree, but like he's a big body guy. You know, you could see in the way he's playing right now that it's different. To me, it's different than how Cole Caulfield was playing in his half. Like you could tell that he kind of has the potential to be what he's destined to be. I don't know, stupid use of words, but in that sense, It's a very good question. It's one you would have to think of really long, hard. My gut instinct would be to wait just a little bit, but I would not be mad if I saw a long-term contract right off the bat here, but I think it's extremely early in his career. He's 19 years old. A lot of people use that as a benefit. He's only 19 years old. He has room to grow. But again, 20. He's only 19 years old. He's 20 now. Yeah, you're right. But he has a lot of growing to do also, and he has to consistently improve if he wants to match whatever contract you're going to give him right now. So I would wait. If you're asking me right now, gun to my head, I would say I would probably bridge him or wait a little bit off on a big long-term contract and roll the dice. And if I have to pay him, I'm happy to when it comes down to that. But maybe I didn't jump the gun because it's just, again, he has one half season of good NHL on the first line when the Habs were rolling, when everything was going well, when there was no expectations, when there was nothing. I'm always wary of those situations. I've talked to you guys about this all the time.
I can't wait for the team to be good so that suddenly that's not a thing anymore.
Yes, I agree. I also cannot wait for that to happen. I don't talk about that with other teams, you know what I mean? But that's what we're for the Canadians right
fair.
Now.
It's fair.
You've got to be
it's
wary.
It's a fair thing. I agree. It's fair.
As an organization, they identify a core. The team identifies what their core is. They identify who their players are. They drafted this kid first overall. He's starting to come around. If you watch this game and the games this season and what he's doing in the World Championship, you can see where he started to use his body properly. He's having fun. You're starting to see the guy that the Montreal Canadiens drafted and they saw in him. He's a big body guy who's filling into his frame. But if you look at some of the pictures and all that, he's getting there already. They already said during a scouting report before he was drafted that he was an 18-year-old in a man's body. And now he's starting to learn how to use it. And the way his hands are so underrated. If I were the Montreal Canadiens and I had to make a decision, I'd give him that long-term contract because you've identified him as being one of your core pieces and he's your first overall pick just a couple years ago. And he's already posted up 50 points in his second season. Okay. Yes,
what,
I get
what money.
I wouldn't give him at the same amount as Nick Suzuki, which I believe is kind of like where they put it at the cap, like the high limit at the moment. I would give him the 8-year term, and probably about around that 7.
But does he sign that?
He says no to that.
He'll probably say
dance, right?
He might say no to that, and they might bring us closer to Cole Caulfield. And that way Suzuki's still your guy. And if that's what it takes to sign him and have him for 8 years, because my concern is that if they sign him, let's say 5x5 or 5x6, okay, that's going to bring him to about 25 years old. He's going to hit his prime years. He's going to be in his prime years at that point. And let's say he gets to becoming that guy and he ends up being that power forward or that person that's going to pot you 80 points and make space and be a Rantanen light, if you will. It's going to cost you a lot more. It's going
to
cost him.
But if you happen to offer that, then you must be prepared for that. I just don't think he takes 5-5 either.
No.
I think he takes, if he's not going to get what he wants, if you're not going to give him 8 years and Suzuki money, because to your point, that might be the upper limit right now. And again, he's unproven, so they'll have that against him too, but they'll suggest that he's the future and we want him here and you're going to pay him as much as the captain. That might mean a lot to him and then therefore you're good. I think for sure he signs that contract if that's what's offered. On the flip side, if they're a little bit more tentative and they're like Dave and they're like, listen, we see a lot in you. There's a lot of promise, but we want to lock you up a bit, but we want to see you take the next step and then we'll pay you big. I can't see them offering him a 5-year deal. I think it'd be 2 years or 3 years. And they'll give him a nice little boost. And then you got to pay him big time if he does it.
The other thing too is I believe he has this year left, right?
So he has one more year left.
Yeah, he's got one more year. So I think the more cautious approach would be to wait maybe the halfway point of the season, see how things are going before they can negotiate.
I think that's exactly what they'll do.
I think it could go either way if they do that, because if he continues where he left off and all of a sudden his season's more, barring any injuries, of course, is more of a 70-point pace in his third year in the NHL, then the conversation's going to be very different. If he starts this season the way he started last season, then the conversation's more in Montreal's favor.
Listen, I agree with both of you. I'll say this from my perspective, that I think looking at the kid and projecting, because that's what you have to do here. He's only ever done a 50-point season, so you got to be cognizant of that. I understand. But I like what you said about it, Vito, which is if you've identified him as your core, you've drafted him first overall, you see he's handling the pressure of this market with ease. You see what it's like when he's over in his home country where it's like he's a rock star and he handles that also. And he's growing into that body like you suggested, and you're seeing very clear and very evident big strides in progression. If it were me, I would do the gamble because he's my guy. I drafted him. I believe in him. I would try to sign him long-term right now, this summer. I would lock him up and I would try to get him in a perfect world. Like if you look at a Jack Hughes contract, you made the Jack Hughes comparable. I mean, is that not one of the best contracts in the league right now?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not even saying give him that because I don't think he takes that. I say you're my guy. I want you 8 years, 8.5. Let's go.
There have been general managers that paid contracts and gave long-term contracts right after the entry level. You know, Nathan McKinnon comes to mind in the past, that which was heavily discounted at the time. Jack Hughes as well. There was other contracts that were signed that teams were like, oh, that's a gamble. We don't know what could happen. It could go either way. And you know what? They've worked out. When you've identified a person and they happen to be of a certain talent and their first overall picks, and there's no question marks around that player, you give that contract. Right now, to Dave's point, I think there's still kind of a question mark when it comes to Slafkovský, only because he did get hurt. He did struggle at the beginning of last season. If he would have came into the year last year the same way as he finished off, there'd be no question. There'd be no question whatsoever. We'd be just saying, okay, give him his money. Let's have the conversation. Let's have the contract right now. But because there's still this uneasiness right now about it because of how he started last year, even though the progression was incredible by the end of the year, you want to see how is he going to start this year. So I think the cautious approach is not maybe waiting the entire year, but even 20 games into the season. If you see 20 games into the season, he's at 25 points in 20 games, and he's exactly where he left off, then you say, okay, these are his young years of his career. He's found his game. He's found his confidence. He's found his stride.
Yeah, but that's a perfect world you're talking about. You're talking perfect world at that point that all of a sudden the Canadians don't offer him something now and say, play, kid. We still want to see. Then he starts to scorch the league. And like, okay, now we like you as much as we knew that we liked you. Now we're offering.
Remember,
why would he take the deal then?
Well, we had the same conversations about Cole Caulfield. He's probably going to get $8 million, $8.5 million, more than Suzuki. Then when it came down to it, guess what? He got a little bit under Suzuki and understood that game plan. And I believe
I was on the under Suzuki bandwagon.
Okay, but it's marginally under Suzuki. The idea was that they identified him as a top piece, and the fact remains that it was, at this point, when you look at it, right, given what he's done, you expect him to take another step up to get to what that money equates to, because what he gave you last year is not what an $8 million player should give you. You're paying these guys in advance so that later on in their careers.
He was very young and exactly. he was playing at a 70-plus point pace by the end of the season.
Okay, I know you're a big fan of like those that are on pace and stuff. I know that.
There's a place for that.
I understand. But at the same time, too, if he was a 70-plus point player last season, he would have got 70-plus points. Instead, he got 60.
It's funny. It comes from you too. The person who says like 50 goals and 50 games in the middle of the season doesn't mean anything because it's. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's on a 70-point pace for the last 14 games of the year. Like, how does that even matter?
Talking to you.
Talking to you. Exactly. I'm talking to you. It's just it's funny that you
picks and chooses, man. He picks.
You pick and choose how when it's important and when it's
ambush veto day today.
It's just hey, we're looking at fact. I'm saying there is a time and place to talk about pace. There is, because the idea behind it is. From December to the end of the season, if Slaf picks up exactly where he left off, this upcoming season is going to be dynamite, and that's going to be fantastic. But is it really the same pace? There was a whole offseason. There's a whole lot of stuff happening. My feeling on the matter is you pay this kid because he's your first overall pick, and you see what you're doing with him. You see what he's been able to do so far, and you would be better off giving him the money now so that in 4 years' time, it's going to look like a deal. That's how I see it.
I honestly think they will end up signing him to a long-term deal just because of how Ken Hughes is as a general manager so far, how he's a player agent. He knows the business, and also how it's he is part of the core four and he's their guy, right? Like you, they made a statement by drafting him over Shane Wright. They made a statement by picking him. I think ultimately they do. Do I agree with it? I mean, it's a gamble. I don't necessarily disagree with it either. I mean, it could go either way. I would be leaning more towards no, but it doesn't matter. Like at this point, I don't think you could really do too much wrong unless it's a ridiculous contract. No,
and he can't go over Suzuki.
Give him his long-term contract right now, today, $7.5 million a year, 8 years. Do it.
I think at $7.5 million, I think everybody in the fan base should be excited about that.
Yeah.
If that's what the number is.
The same thing about Cole Caulfield at $8 million, that we should all be happy. They got him under 7.8 or like 7.85, and now we're like, wow, they robbed it. Great job.
I don't think it's a justifiable contract that it's going to look really good in a few years.
You said 8.5 for Slafkovský before. He ain't getting 8.5. He's not going to be the highest paid player on the Montreal Canadiens.
I don't think they will. I think what Suzuki has is the ceiling for him right now. But if you look at him, I mean, Suzuki's your captain, no doubt. But today's point, real fast before we end this now, this was your guy. It was a statement first overall pick. It was the first overall pick for the Montreal Canadiens in 40 years. If you can't buy in and believe in the guy that you picked in that draft, then what are you doing? And he's proven it on the ice too. This isn't like he's been in the AHL and you're offering him. He proved it. I believe the Slafkovský that you saw from December to the end of the season is the kid that you're going to get, not the one from the beginning of the season. I think we're going to see more of that later, Slafkovský, and it's only going to get better. And to me, yes, it's a gamble. I should look at it this way. Yes, it's a gamble.
It's a gamble worth taking.
I'm willing to take that gamble because I actually believe there's a lot of evidence there to show that it's less of a gamble than some people might think.
That's fair.
I'm for it.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm honestly not. You can't convince me that that's the wrong move. I'm just, you asked me my honest opinion. This is one of the ones where it was a difficult thing for me because I could see the potential there, but I would still like to see something happen. And because potential is a very dangerous word in the NHL. And you know, you talk about the pace and stuff. Caulfield had 26 goals. Hello.
I think we lost Dave.
Technical problems right there, right to the end. We hear you, I think.
Dave?
Or we don't.
Okay. In conclusion, it seems like he's for the Marner-Caulfield trade. He's definitely against anything that's PLD-related. Basically, throw that guy in the dump. And for Slafkovský, he wants to take more of a cautious approach, but would understand if a long-term contract were to be given, but also would be very okay with a bridge contract.
Thank you for the recap of the Dave opinions of things.
Perfect. Yes.
Okay.
And he feels strongly about the Mitch Marner thing. Strongly.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so with that, I ask everybody who made it to the end of this rather long episode, what are their feelings about it? Would you do a trade like that was suggested for Mitch Marner? Let us know in the comments below, please. Again, that trade was Cole Caulfield and the 5th overall pick. Would you be enticed to do it or not? Let us know why also, obviously.
Where are you getting the 5th overall pick? Even the thing said the 2025 first.
It's my question.
I don't care.
Anything I want. Okay, obviously Vito is a little upset he got ganged up on this episode. So please let us know in the comments. Did we treat Vito unfairly? Let us know, please. And on that, thanks so much for listening. For Dave and Vito, this was
Get Pucked.